Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, you want that to go?
Time for some takeouts. Yeah, we got your news to go here. We're going to start in Washington with our correspondent there, Todd Zwillick. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, Celeste. Good morning.
So we want to talk about a couple numbers that have come out. I mean, first of all, we get this report from the Business Roundtable, which is basically a large organization of CEOs of large businesses. And basically what they've said is they've issued a warning to Congress saying, if you do not pass some kind of efficient, workable health care reform, we may not be able to afford to cover our employees, right?
Well, businesses have been saying this for years and years. You know, it used to be just sort of the consumer advocates wanted health reform, you know, give everybody health insurance. And in recent years, that has really shifted. It's now across the economy. Business leaders say they need reform or they just won't be able to afford it. And the Business Roundtable is a group of the top CEOs from huge companies across the country. Right now, it costs about $10,700 on average per employee for a business to cover healthcare. That's premiums, that's taxes, that's cost sharing, that's all the stuff that your employer would have to pay. They said if health reform doesn't happen over the next 10 years, it'll go from $10,700 to $28,500, which is well more than double. It's like 170% rise. That's the worst case scenario. So that's if you do nothing, it's going to totally break the bank. So this was a major shot across the bow for Congress, you know, get something done. Democrats, of course, have seized on this number and say, see, Republicans, we have to have reform. Don't stand in our way. But really, I see this a little bit differently. It's really a shot at Democrats themselves. Stop bickering over things like abortion and the small details and make sure you get reform done, because the business leaders are crying for it.
Right. And the other thing is that the Democrats have said that their health care reform is going to cut money off the deficit. And since we got these numbers for October showing that the deficit is enormous, that could be another argument for them to get moving on health care reform, right?
Well, it will cut some dollars off the deficit, but only shave, you know, a couple of $10 billion off the deficit, probably, which is nothing when you look at the latest figures. The Treasury Department said yesterday that the deficit for October was a record, $176 billion, which is a huge number. But the deficit for all of fiscal 2009, which just ended on October 1st.
Right.
$101.42 trillion.
Yeah. Well, Todd, you're spending the weekend going to see Devo in two separate concerts, but I imagine unless there was a concert movie made of them, our next guest, A.O. Scott, wouldn't be reviewing Devo.
Oh, twist away the gates of steel and Monday night.
Have fun, Todd. So A.O. Scott, film critic for the New York Times and takeaway contributor, joins us here in the studio with your takeout on movies. It's not a huge weekend because 2012, the movie that's the blockbuster, mm-hmm. is really kind of crowding out everything else. It's classic sort of boy meets girl, boy opens a portal into a parallel universe, boy prevents ancient Mayan prophecy from becoming true.
A quiet little drama, full of sensitive performances,
exactly.
And very, 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 very modest,
but irresistible,
low-budget indie thing.
Irresistible entertainment.
The whole planet is destroyed. Irresistible for the first hour and a half of the 2.5 hours.
Two and a half hours.
I just think if you're going to destroy the world, you have to do it a little more efficiently.
Now listen to this clip, because I'm having a little problem with 2012. I don't know if it's a comedy or a drama. Listen.
It seems to me that the worst is over.
No, That's a Germanic-sounding governor of California trying to reassure people. Are you sure that's not a Saturday Night Live skit?
Well, there's some humor. I mean, this movie is very aware of its own preposterousness, right down to the special effects. You have my favorite sequence, the destruction of Los Angeles, where you have John Cusack driving a stretch limousine, basically outrunning an earthquake. He's driving along and the fault line is opening up right behind his car and all the houses are spilling into it. And that's fun for a while, and it's certainly fun to watch Woody Harrelson playing a kind of a survivalist nut job who
turns out to be right
about everything.
Yeah, of course.
He's in a trailer in Yellowstone.
As destructions of L.A. go, is it better than Day After Tomorrow? That was another destruction.
Well, also from Roland Emmerich, who's—I don't know what he has against the city of Los Angeles, which obviously pays his rent pretty well.
Yeah,
but You know, it is.
You liked it, though.
I liked it. I got really bored at the end when they're all loaded up on these big giant arcs in the Himalayas waiting for the tsunami to wash them all away. And then it just becomes kind of like
too much water
and too much yelling and screaming. But up until then, as planetary destruction goes, it was kind of fun.
You have nothing good to say about Pirate Radio with Philip Seymour Hoffman. So let's not dwell on that.
Yeah.
But Wes Anderson getting into animation with the Fantastic Mr. Fox, a couple of words on that?
That's a nice movie. I mean, it's a Wes Anderson movie through and through. And in a way, I think some of the attention to detail and the fussiness and preciousness of his other movies actually works well with this. It's done with stop motion animation with puppets, with a great voice cast, George Clooney, Meryl Streep. It's a really interesting movie. It's odd, but odd, I think, in a very nice way.
Two good suggestions from A.O. Scott, film critic for the New York Times and Takeaway contributor, Fantastic Mr. Fox and 2012, at least for the first hour and a half. Thanks, Tony.
Right. One more takeout, and it's about a very simple question that we asked yesterday. Will China rule the world? And you had a lot to say.
The Chinese already have more people who speak English than we have Americans. Yes, they will take over.
As far as China goes, I think it would be a good idea for the rest of the world to merge with China. War would become extinct, and I, for one, enjoy my wonton soup.
Good morning. Troy calling from Dakota. China won't take over the world. Kazakhstan will. That Borat movie probably made them angry enough to pull it off.
Thank you, Troy. We also talked yesterday about a White House plan to have states compete for education money. Here's a reaction.
I taught at public schools for at-risk kids for 4 years, and where if you have a school with very high-performing students, your test scores can go up and up and up. Whereas if you have students who keep coming in and they're in your program simply to graduate and they just want to pass, you're lucky if you had high passing rates, as hard as you work.
React to anything on the program at 8778-MY-TAKE, mytake@thetakeaway.org. You know how to reach us. I love those reactions to Will China Rule the World.
I was, the cleverness of our listeners.
Yes, I was accused of coming up with a comic book question there, but I love those
responses.
It's true. They're the best.